Praise the Lord. Thank God for old-time sky-blue, devil-driving religion. It just suits me. I'm so delighted that my beautiful wife can be along here with me as well as my accordion. Dear, why don't you greet the people?
I'm so happy for the day of Pentecost. My day of Pentecost was over 50 years ago, and it's still good today. And if you haven't had your day of Pentecost, I think today is the day. Praise the Lord.
I can't let this good an opportunity slip by. I was the pastor in 1942 in Winfield, Louisiana, and we were in a revival meeting, and this 19-year-old blonde was visiting her auntie, who was a Sunday school teacher where I pastored. And I thought, that is undoubtedly the most beautiful blonde I ever saw in my life. And while she was visiting Auntie, she got saved and God filled her with the Holy Ghost, and I baptized her in water. Amen. And I hadn't changed my mind about her since. Look, we lost our musicians. I was a little slow on that. Well, yes, if you don't mind, come back. I want to tease you just a little bit and see if you can recognize this song. I'm going to play one score. It's going to be in the key of F. And I'm watching. Dear, you help me. If there's anybody that recognizes it, we'll sing it. If not, we just won't sing it. All right, listen at this. Oh, they're waving at me back here. Key of F. Page 130. Is it 30?
130.
Oh, that's one of those good old Pentecostal songs. Stand and let's sing. They were in an upper chamber, okay? Everybody stand and sing.
They were in an upper chamber. They were all in one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord, all works in the darkness now. All works in the darkness now. All works in the darkness now. And yes, this old-time power descended with the sound of rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon men as the Lord said we would sing. Oh, Lord, send the purpose now.
You might be seated, and you guys stay up a minute or two longer. Would you all like for me and Sister Mama to sing the Senior Citizen Shuffle and dedicate it to Sister Bowden here, the Sunday school teacher? Man, you talk about getting us started off today. We started off in overdrive. Yeah, I guarantee you. This is an Ira Stanfield song. I hope you won't be offended. The title is The Senior Citizen Shuffle. Key of E flat.
I walked into church with my cane in my hand and found me a seat in the pew. I struggled a little and I shuffled a lot. That's something that older folks do. I put on my glasses and opened the book and broke into song with a cry. I did not sing pretty, I did not sing bad, but boy,
did I ever sing loud.
Oh, I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the time of my life. I've got a big grin all over my skin, 'cause I'm having the time of my life. My specialty singers arrived on the scene. I knew I was in for a blast. They set up their amps and their flicker ring lamps. I wondered how long it would last. The music was good, but we stood and we stood. So I had a few tricks I played. When the music got loud, I just stood with the crowd and turned down my hearing. Oh, I'm having the time of my life. I'm having the time of my singing. I've got a big grin all over my skin, 'cause I'm having the time of my life.
All right, we're going to dedicate this to Pastor Granberry.
The preacher was preaching in monotone voice. His eloquence flowed by the hour. So I took the time to survey all the crowd and account it ever had with a flower. The sermon was dull, so I something must see. I'd heard it since I was a pup. He thought we were captives to listen all day, but I found I could sleep sitting up. Oh, I'm
having the time of my life.
Singing.
I'm having the time of my life.
I've got a big grin all over my skin, 'cause I'm having the time of my life.
By special request, I sing this for my preacher friends. The title is The Lord Will Provide. Based upon Abraham and Isaac and those B flat.
The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. In some way or other, the Lord will provide. Now Abraham said to his nephew Lot, I see that we must part. Because we are brethren, it almost breaks my heart. You take the watered valley, I'll take the old hillside. In some way or other, the Lord will provide. Sing with me. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. In some way or other, the Lord will provide. Now Abraham loved the Lord, and this is what he done. He went up on a mountain to offer up his son. He drew his knife to slay him, and then he turned aside. In some way or other, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. In some way or other, the Lord will provide. I have a good experience, converted and sanctified. I've given up all for Jesus. Now the Holy Ghost abides. I'm walking with my Savior, and when I have to rise, in some way or other, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. In some way or other, the Lord will provide.
Praise God. I don't want to turn this into a singing convention, but I would like to give you a little sample of singing in the Pentecostal meetings, like it was when I received the Holy Spirit in 1933. I know everyone has sung the chorus. It's real. I think I'll do it in A flat. But would you like to hear some of the verses, how we used to sing it when I was a kid? When first I heard of Pentecost, I thought it was a shame that such unholy teaching should be taught in Jesus' name. They said 'twas in the Bible, so I did not want to doubt. I went around to see them and to hear them singing, shout, singing, it's real, it's real. I know it's real. It's coming across the blessing. Oh, I know it's real. Sing, it's real, it's real. I know it's real. It's coming across the blessing. I know it's real. Some were shouting hallelujah. Some were prostrate on the floor. They were dancing in the spirit from the pulpit to the door. They were quaking, they were shaking as one by one they fell. I glanced at one who shook so hard, I thought he had a spell. It's real, it's real. I know it's real. It's real. I stayed a little longer, wondering what my folks would say, for I knew they did not like it, nor this Pentecostal way. Why, just a day or two before, I heard my father say, when I got my religion, I did not act that way. Oh, then I started for the altar with a hunger in my soul. I did not care for people, for the Spirit had control. I raised my hands toward heaven, and I let God have His way. Oh, praise the Lord, He filled me in that Pentecostal way. Oh, it's me, it's me. When you get the Holy Ghost, I know you'll speak with tongues, and all the folks around you know the Holy Ghost has come. In Acts 2:4, 10:44, the scriptures plainly say, also the 19th chapter, that they all came through that way. Oh, I'll tell you, as a Frenchman would say, I stayed surprised this morning when Brother Robertson come and met us down at the Days Inn. You know, I didn't have a map of Houston, and we're not accustomed to a city this big. Most of our ministry's been down on the bayous, and I was expecting to be coming in on the bayou, you know. I know about Bayou Lafourche and Bayou Terrebonne and Bayou Blue and Bayou Gauche, but I've never been to Greensboro before, so we were wondering, you know, Brother Robertson was ahead in his little van, and my wife and we looking, and I said, I see a great big steeple over there on the right, and I thought maybe it might be like the First Presbyterian Church or something, you know, and I said, look, he's got his turning signal on, he's taking us in there, man, we pulled up in this beautiful setup here, and you are to be commended. And then I thought of the people that I've known many years ago from Greensboro. I started pastoring, well, I started full-time ministry in 39 at age 18, and the war with England and Germany had already started in September of 39, and boy, you talk about preachers getting scarce. They got scarce, you know, either getting drafted or else going to the defense plants, you know, the shell plant or the shipyards or the airplane factory. And we had a couple of little churches in Wynn Parish rural area that was out of pastor, and I was 19. So I was always looking for a place to preach, and they was looking for a pastor, so it's kind of like boy and girl getting married, you know. Boy wants to get married, and he finds a girl that wants to get married, you know. They just tie the knot. So they called me at Antioch in Ward 10. Then they had another little church, just a tabernacle with sawdust on it. It was closed 5 miles, and I didn't have a car in those days. I didn't know you had to have a car to be a preacher. And I never even had a PA set, let alone a car. And so I was preaching, man, in the little church over there. I said, man, why don't you come over and preach one night a week at Coldwater? I said, okay, just 5 miles. Well, a 19-year-old guy, that's just good exercise. So we started preaching over there. And I was pastoring in that same setup, Pearl Harbor Day. I don't know if any of y'all remember Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. And we've had a good bit of experience. And so here we are at Greens Bayou today, and it's different to what I was expecting it to be. But I have something I'd like to share with you, and it's basically going to be from the writings of Paul. And I have asked and prayed since Pastor Granberry has invited us to come over. I try to feel like what is God's message and what does God want for the occasion. And since this is my first occasion here, I've met a few people I've met previously. I've had to look totally and completely to God. And I have planned my message in such a way that if St. Paul were to walk in the door, that he could take over and finish it up. If he, through a miracle, God would resurrect St. Paul and let him come back. And I'll watch the doors. If he should walk in, I will step down and invite him to come to the pulpit. How many would like to hear Paul preach? How many thinks he would have changed his message? Anybody thinks he would have changed? You know, we say, well, the church changes. Okay, and but the word of God is the same for every culture in every generation. I prayed more for Southern Baptists 7 or 8 years ago when they was about to split, because I've been around Southern Baptists all my life and I know they really preach the gospel of salvation. But I guess the thing that disturbed me so much was what they were about to split over. This thing right here, is it all inspired? And I don't believe Paul would change his sermon. But I have a few things I'd like to point out to you from Paul. Now, Paul would understand less than anybody here about the church. In fact, if Paul were to come in and I didn't give him the pulpit, he would I would need to invite him up to sit with Pastor Granberry so Brother Granberry could explain things to him. You know, how you like the church? Eh? What? Of course, he never saw a church building, you know. He says, looks to me kind of like Greek architecture. All this light in here, you know. Oh, well, Paul, he'd say, this is a church. Look at the pulpit. He'd say, eh? What? Pulpit. Huh. Of course, that's not even a New Testament word, you know. It's not used in... Well, it's the pulpit. That's why the sermon is the what? And of course, the word sermon is not even listed in my King James Bible. It might be a footnote somewhere that says the sermon at Mars Hill. But the sermon per se is like pulpits. Pulpits haven't been in churches very long. I had a young preacher come in my office soon after I was district in. Said, Brother Jenner, I understand there's a church in the Houston area that has taken the pulpit out of the church. I said, well, do tell. Who put the pulpit in there? And he didn't know. Most people don't know. You know, the pulpit's a late thing. If you've traveled in Europe and some of the old countries, the old churches just don't have pulpits. They just didn't have them. And sermons, well, as I said, you'd have to get him talk to Paul so that he could understand what it's all about. Well, people like Spurgeon and Finney popularized the sermon, and there's nothing wrong with it. Probably ever church in Houston today will have a sermon in it. But so much of what we do in our churches is either historical or cultural. You take the Roman Catholic Church, about 10% of what they do is based on the Word of God and is very fundamental. I have a Roman Catholic Bible and have preached often out of a Roman Catholic Bible. All the fundamentals of the faith I can preach it out of my St. Joseph's Roman Catholic Bible. Jesus Christ is born of a Virgin Mary. He died on the cross, shed his blood for our sins, was resurrected, ascended up to heaven, and a few days later sent back the Holy Ghost. Woo, hallelujah. But about 45% is historical and about 45% would be cultural. You come on down to your good Southern Baptist, a little more of it would be based on the Bible, maybe 20% and 40% historical and 40% culture. On down to the Assemblies of God, well, I'll give the Assemblies of God a pretty good mark. You know, about a third of what we do in our church is based on the Scriptures, and about a third of it is historical and a third of it is cultural. As superintendent for over 17 years, I really don't remember any major problem over the Word. But when it comes to historical, what Grandma and Grandpa used to do or what Brother Sam did, I remember. And culture. And honey, it's a big change from preaching in Houston to some places overseas on the mission field. But today, I am not going to preach on cultural or historical things, but I want to go to things that have real value that never change. It's the same 2,000 years ago. It's the same in the Presbyterian, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Roman Catholic, and it's only very few things in our church. For example, God Himself. There's nothing greater than to preach about God. Would you say amen? In Malachi we read, behold, I'm the Lord and I change not. And Jesus Christ, well, you read in Hebrew, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? Amen. The Holy Spirit is always the same. The Word of God, forever thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. So I guess what I'm trying to say is the things that I plan to bring to you today is not some cultural or historical something, but something that St. Paul would, in fact, I'm reading from what he said, and I don't think he would change. Is that all right? Would you please accept it? If Paul doesn't come in, you would please accept it from Cecil Janway as the Word of God? How many will do that? you would accept it just like Paul himself was here doing it. Is that all right? Well, let's start off in the book of Ephesians, and you know that Paul wrote the letter to the church at Ephesus, and in chapter number 6 and in verse number 12. I think something that is so very, very, very appropriate for May 1993 on Pentecost Sunday. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There is an unseen battle that's raging in this world today that's never been greater. It's unseen. You know about the Somalia, and you know about the Bosnia and the Serbs, and you know about many battle places of the world, but the greatest battle that has ever been known to man is going on right now. Amen? And it's got started in heaven. I don't want to shake your faith up, but what we're facing today got started in heaven. President Bill Clinton is not our main enemy. In Louisiana, it's not Edwin Edwards, though I did not vote for either one of them this last go-round. But he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." Would you all agree with that statement? And that's people. So our battle is not against people. Oh, Father, help. Right now we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten them, the minds of the hearers, and enlighten our eyes so that we can see the truths of your word, not just what we have heard, but really what your word teaches us today. Thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. How did that? You started in heaven? Mm-hmm. How? It started in heaven. Do you have revelations in your Bible? Why don't you turn over to Revelation chapter 12 and I'll show you where our problem started. And it's never been greater than it is today. Revelation 12, starting with verse 7, and you can find out what we are up against. Have you found Revelation 12 and 7? I'll read it. "And there was war in heaven." Did you know that was in your Bible? That they had a war in heaven? How many of you knew that already? There was war in heaven, honey. Michael and his angels, that the archangel, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. The dragon and his angels fought in heaven and prevailed not, neither was there. Notice that word T-H-E-I-R, possessive. Their place found anymore in heaven. The devil, the dragon, once had place in heaven, and all the wicked angels that rebelled against God. And they fought against Michael and the good angels. And there was no more room found for him in heaven. Okay, what happened to him? "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto," where? "The earth." And he's been on the earth ever since. "And his angels were cast out with him. And he went into the Garden of Eden, and he found a man and woman living there, and he began to tempt and said, 'Did God tell you not to eat of this?'" Uh-huh. Well, he said, "God knows if you eat of that, your eyes is going to be open. You're going to be like God. It's good. It's good. Go ahead and take it. Try it." And both Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. God had made the earth as a dwelling place for man and for woman. And you go back to Genesis, and God told them to subdue the earth, be in charge of the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals. This is your domain. The earth was a beautiful place. But when they disobeyed God, they lost their dominionship and they lost their rulership. And they sold it out to the devil. And the devil been doing his work, but he's never been any more harder and stronger than he is right now. Even when Jesus came to this earth, well, the devil tried to get him when he's a baby. And when he started his ministry, after he was baptized in the river of Jordan, and received a mighty endowment with power. Now you know Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Ghost. How many knows that? It was by the power of the Holy Ghost that he was born as a baby. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But later on in his life, before he began his ministry, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. When he was baptized by John in Jordan, God gave John, said, John, I'm giving you a sign. You baptize with water. I'm going to send one after you that'll baptize the Holy Ghost in fire. And you won't get mixed up and won't make a mistake. Because when you baptize him, I'm going to open up the heavens and send the Holy Ghost down on him. So John was out there baptizing the river of Jordan. No. He baptized another. What's he looking for? Holy Ghost from heaven like a... No. No. I don't know how many hundred or thousand he baptized, but finally there came a man who was raised in the carpenter shop at Nazareth, and John, through the... Hallelujah, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he recognized him, and he pointed his finger, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he came up to get baptized, and John said, I'm not worthy. Loose your sandal, let alone to baptize you, Jesus. Yes, but he says, I'm setting an example for my disciples to follow me, and I want to get baptized, and I want you to do it. And so John baptized. What about you that's never been baptized? You say you follow Jesus every step of the way. You stepping in his footstep. What you going to do when you come to the water? You put your foot in the last footprints and it's at the water. What you going to do? You going to back up or you going down in the water and get baptized? Woo! Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if I was in your position, never been baptized in water, I'd talk to Pastor Granberry before I left here today. I'm not saying he's going to baptize you today, but at least you could set up some kind of a something, because if you want to follow Jesus every step of the way, you're going to have to, honey, follow him down through the water. And when... when John brought him up out of the river of Jordan, the heavens rolled back and the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the shape of a form of a dove. He probably danced in the spirit out there in Jordan. He said, look, folks, this is the sign, the one that told me to go baptize. This, he said, I'll give you a sign, and when you baptize him, I'll pour out the Holy Ghost on you. My. So, praise the Lord. And so, let me tell you something. The devil tempted Jesus. He said, Jesus, come up here on this mountain. Look at all the kingdoms of the earth. It's all for me, the devil said. That's all mine. And if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this. But it wasn't for the devil. He claimed dominion over the earth, and Jesus did not yield to that. But when Jesus died on the cross, you know what he did to the devil? He broke his back. When the blood was shed, it did right the opposite to what the devil was planning. And then when he resurrected from the dead after 3 days, he gave like a punch out blow to him. But that's not all. If Jesus had stayed here on earth, we'd still been in a bad shape. He wouldn't be here in your church here at Greensboro on this Sunday morning. Maybe not in your lifetime if he was on earth, because he was in, you know, when he walked around on earth as a human. You'd do good to get Jesus one time in your lifetime to visit your church. But he ascended back. And this is important. After he resurrected, he ascended. He was seen of many for 40 days and nights. And I don't know, 7 or 8 days later, after he went back to heaven, he sent the promise of the sweet Holy Ghost. And now, brothers and sisters, we don't... go and bow to the devil, we can take authority. Let me tell you something. Listen to this, Cajun. The devil right now would like to separate every married couple in all the world. He'd like for you and your wife and your husband to be separated. He would like to separate every child from their parent. We're having terrible things. He'd like to separate blood brothers and sisters. And he does that. But me and my wife, we ain't going to let him do it. We have four children just like you. We've got six grandchildren. We spent about 8 hours yesterday with our daughter and her husband and two children who moved down to Alvin about January, February of this year. But we ain't going to let the devil come between us and our family. Look at Cain killed Abel. That was the devil. Would you say amen? Look at this fighting in Bosnia, those Serbs. All kin. One little old country about that big. And they just kill one another. Ethnic cleansing. Just be sort of like the people in Louisiana trying to kill all the Texans, or all the Texans trying to kill all the people in Louisiana. That's the work of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Are y'all listening to me this morning? We are in a spiritual warfare, and you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need that worse than anything that I can think of. Well, in fact, a matter, since we're preaching so that Paul could take over, I want to go to Galatians chapter 3. And I don't see him here, Paul, but in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Let's see what Paul writes here. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. There it is again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That confirms what we just said. Christ died on the cross to redeem us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And it starts with a capital S. Is that correct? Spirit through what? Faith. Might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There are a lot of things you'll get without faith. God sends the rain on the just and unjust. You may get your daily bread without even praying. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. But there are some things you will not get from God without faith. By faith, by grace, are you saved through faith. If you don't have faith, you cannot get saved. How many will agree with that? You cannot, it's impossible to be filled with the Holy Spirit without having faith. Amen? Now just listen. I want to make a statement and prove the statement. There is as much Holy Ghost power in the Greensboro Assembly of God Church on this May 30th, 1993, as there were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Our sister Bowden here brought it out so clearly. Now, you know about the Passover. The lamb was killed and the blood was put on the doorpost. And because of that lamb, they were redeemed from Egyptian bondage and they got away from old King Pharaoh, God's people. How many know that's a fact? That's a fact. All right. And God said, remember this every year as a celebration. Okay. 50 days after they killed the Paschal lamb, they had started toward the promised land and were out in the wilderness, and God had taken old brother Moses up on a mountain. Woo! And he come down off of that mountain, and he had two tables of stone in his hand. And there's written the laws, the Ten Commandments. Okay, God said, this is a good, commemorate this, the giving of the law. And so it happened 50 days after they'd killed the Paschal lamb. Now Jesus, for hundreds of years, the Jews celebrated two great events. It started with Passover and it ended with Pentecost. And if you go into the Old Testament and read it, there was the Feast of Weeks. From Passover to Pentecost, it was 7 weeks. And devout Jews went to Jerusalem for different religious ceremonies, sort of like Lent. I don't know if you all know much about the Catholic Church and high churches, but the season of Lent is the 40 days before Easter. How many have heard of Lent? Did you ever hear of Lent? Well, the Jews, they had the Feast of Weeks, and it started with Passover, and it ended with Pentecost. Now, every year at Passover, the old Hebrew priest would offer up a lamb for his sin offering. And so, one day at Jerusalem, as the smoke of the evening sacrifice was going up, outside the city walls, on Golgotha's hill, there was one that was dying, the Lamb of God. And Paul wrote again, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Of all the 364 other days in the year, God saw to it that His Son died on the cross on Passover. You know this. He went early the night before and had the Passover supper with His disciples and was rested before daylight. And was Christ. All right. Then listen to this. 50 days after Jesus died on the cross, you come to the Feast of Pentecost. And if you was in Jerusalem, there again, the old bearded priest and what have you, they had their rituals, their forms, their ceremonies. What are you doing? Oh, we're commemorating the giving of the law. It was glorious. And Paul wrote, if that which is passed away was glorious, how much more that which remaineth is glorious. And he speaks about the administration of death written and engraven in tables of stones was glorious. How much more the administration of the Spirit? So God saw to it that the Holy Ghost was sent right on the day they were celebrating the giving of the law. You think that was an accident? Mm-mm. No more than an accident to Jesus. Now, again, there is as much power in this church as there were in the upper room. Prove it? Okay. I call on Brother Granberry and the other theologians. We say that God has attributes. One of God's attributes is He is omniscient. What does that mean, omniscient? Knows everything, sees everything. How many believe God's omniscient? Now, another attribute of God, they say God is omnipotent. What does that mean? What? All power. You believe God is all power? Well, there's another big word they use in theology called omnipresent. What does that mean? Everywhere? Through the power. How many of you believe that through the power of the Holy Ghost that God is everywhere? You think God would be up here at the communion table? Do you think He'd be out in the yard? On top of the church? One writer said, "Where shall I flee from His presence? If I go to the farthest star, He is there. If I make my bed in hell, He is there." A Russian astronaut went around the moon and said he didn't see God. I guess not. God is a spirit. How many of you believe God is everywhere? And that is the gospel fact. And if I had a little transistor radio, a little battery radio, could I tune in a radio station or two right here in this church and pick it up? How many knows that's true? That's really true? Okay. Suppose I had a little transistor TV. Is there some channel in here? I'm not talking about one that you plug in, but one with a battery. Would there be a TV channel that I could get in this sanctuary? Are you people telling me that there are engineers at the radio station that can put radio signals in the sanctuary? Do your hand like that. Man, there's no telling what all is out there. May. And if we had a transistor radio, you might get to a full radio station. But it might not be appropriate for the 11 o'clock service to be on. Or TV. They might have some programs on the TV channels that wouldn't be appropriate to show them here. Now, do you think those engineers has more power than my God who is omnipresent? I declare without fear of any contradiction, there is as much power of the Holy Ghost in this sanctuary today as there was on the day of Pentecost. Let me tell you where I was two months ago last night. Our layman in Louisiana has been doing prison crusades for a couple of years. 2 months ago was last Saturday night in March. Yeah, that's 2 months ago. We were down at Louisiana Correctional Industrial School at De Quincy. Over 700 inmates. And I go with our layman. I've only missed two. And that's when I'm out of state or out of the country or out of pocket. And I was there on Saturday night. We'd had good, and there was a little lady scheduled to preach. She had preached 2 or 3 months before at the St. Gabriel's, which is a women's prison of over 700. And many were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. My wife was workers in the cells. The men couldn't get in the cells. But on Saturday night, she was not introduced. The one in charge of the service was not at the podium. We had been singing a song. I was like standing right along here with my accordion. There was a few other instruments. They had a little platform in the gymnasium. We had inmates. And suddenly, it seemed like I felt a wind blowing. And I looked to see if the door in the gymnasium was open. There's no air conditioning. And no door was open. And one later, we had 62 or three counselors, men, who were in there working with these inmates. Seven had been in prison themselves. Two in our group had been in this, where we were. And our first crusade in that prison was the assistant warden came publicly and accepted Christ. But I won't tell you about this Saturday night. I was not in the upper room on the day of Pentecost when the power first fell. I was not at Topeka, Kansas on New Year's night, 1900, when the fire of God fell. I was not in Hot Springs, Arkansas in 1914 when the Assemblies of God was organized. But I was in that prison on Saturday night, the last Saturday night in March, when the Holy Ghost power fell. No one said come. No one said we're going to have an altar service. But someone was under mighty conviction. And one of the counselors had been out less than a year. A little bitty guy, Lee, went to him and said, come on. No one said. They come down the steps out of the bleachers or balconies. And I don't know if I had my accordion on or had it off. And man, they began to get up, and there was two sets of stairs. And they become streaming down one by one by one by one. I stood there. I was afraid to move. And they just come fell on the floor, on their knees. The whole floor was filled up with inmates. And that's not jail. That's people who are in prison, state prison, who's been before judge and have heard their sentence 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years. One of the men, I asked him, about your long-range plans. And he said, well, I can't make much plans. I've got 20 more years in here. I didn't ask him why he's in there. But Brother Granberry, those people come down, and I looked in their faces, and I saw the Holy Spirit was on them. I saw, it seemed like the Lord said, hold still, hold still. And they just kept coming. No one said, come, no one. And suddenly, I went and laid hands on the first one, and he started speaking in other tongues. And I went to the next one, started speaking with other tongues. We had little cards they'd given us to get the names of each one that got saved and each one that got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the inmates started falling out under the power, slain in the Spirit. All of the guards was coming, how they was looking. The chaplain was a little free Methodist man, sweet man. And man, he was looking and looking and looking. And I didn't get the names. You're not going to go shake someone that's out on the power and say, what's your name and number, you know. I saw a sovereign move of God's Holy Spirit. More than 200 out of the 700 inmates. All of them wasn't there. They wasn't forced to come. They come on their own. But more than 200 came to Jesus. And I don't know how many was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I baptized six of them the next morning. They brought in a little portable baptistry, and some of the other men, counselors, baptized some more. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, I'll never forget 2 months ago on Saturday night when the power of the Holy Ghost. And I have a strong feeling that today, praise God, we're going to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you this, hallelujah. You cannot speak English and French at the same time. You cannot speak English and speak in other tongues at the same time. Trust in me. I, the Lord thy God, desire to fill you with my Holy Spirit. I filled Balaam's donkey so that he could speak a language that Balaam could understand. So do not be fearful, but only believe, only trust, only believe, and you shall receive, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said in St. John chapter 7, verse about 37, the last day of the feast, the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him shake the preacher's hand. No, let him join the church. No, if any man thirst, let him do what? Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and he that believeth upon me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly. See, come on. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Christ was not yet glorified. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Friend, I believe that the Lord Jesus, the mighty baptizer in the Holy Ghost, has selected this day for to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid. You know, the devil is, remember, our enemy. It's the devil. It's spiritual. He say, be careful. You might get something of the devil. That's not true. Not in this house where people are praying and where we're pleading the blood. Amen. Jesus wouldn't let you get something of the devil when you come up to this altar. Amen. It couldn't be of the devil. If it was, different crowd would have it. The people in these bars and dance halls and places all be filled with the Holy Spirit if it's of the devil. How many think that's right? The devil's not going to give you something to make you love Jesus more. That'll give you power to overcome the devil and claim your family for Jesus. Amen. How many of you want all of your family members to be saved? Reach out to your family members. Don't let the devil take any of your family down. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil scare you. And so I'm going to ask in a very informal way. I'm going to ask the pastor and his wife, my wife, the staff members and their wives, and you deacons and altar workers and elders in the church, just make a long line from one end of this over to the other end up here. Maybe and face the congregation. Is that all right, Brother Granbear? Just come and the elders and altar workers, deacons and what have you, maybe some of you Sunday school teachers, if you will believe God with me, I'm asking that everyone who comes today will be filled. Would you stand with me? Let me pray one prayer. And then if you really and truly want to receive, I ask you to come. Just come line up with these altar workers that's interested in praying for you. Heavenly Father, my only prayer request this morning is that you will fill each and every one of thy people that has not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. There are those who are lacking in their hearts. Let this be a day as in the upper room at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Let it be a renewing of Pentecost this morning. Thank you for filling this house with your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I ask you to come right now. If you really want to be filled, just walk right on down and stand in front of anybody here that's in line. You really want to be filled with the good Holy Ghost, just come on down and stand before these here. Any and everybody that would like to be filled. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I like that. Just come, this room at the altar, just stand in front of these. If you say, Brother Janway, I'm one, I want everything God has for me. I'm tired of the devil knocking me around and keeping me from God's best. Amen. I'm going to claim my family. I want the power of the Holy Ghost working in my life. I want power to overcome sin. I want power to be a testimony and to be a witness for Jesus. Just come right along. Let me wait another minute. The devil might say, don't go, don't go. But you don't listen to the devil. Amen? Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, you are defeated. Jesus conquered you on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Loosen your hope upon those who have a tendency to hold back today. Hallelujah. Come along if you want to receive the Holy Spirit this morning. Just come right along. Hallelujah. Say, this is a beautiful picture. I like this. Amen. I'll tell you, maybe our musician might play that song, O Lord, Send the Power, just now. They were in an upper chamber. Some of you men folk might want to come further down this way. We've got more men down this way. I'm going to say, come on. Stand in front of these. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You want to be filled? Just come and stand here. Hallelujah. The rest of you, that if you're already filled with the Holy Spirit, you feel free to come lay your hands on some of these. Maybe some of your kin people up here. There's power in laying on of hands. You have some special friends you want to see them fill. Just get behind them. Lay your hands on them. You'll say, Brother Janway, I'm going to pray for some. These are some of my friends. I'm tired of the devil keeping them away long enough. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Amen. Just come and stand here. Now, some of you men, keep your eyes open. There's some more that's coming. And if you're full of the Spirit and you believe with us, come get up here and help us pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is Pentecost Sunday. On both ends. Yes, keep coming on down. Some of you brothers in the congregation, exercise some faith. Come help us pray for these. Lay hands on these. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, my prayer is that everyone will. Still room for you at the altar.